for Justice, who will actually call out for justice. Have you ever played with, been as an adult or young people, played with somebody or watched children play, and you notice there's a child that doesn't always play fair? But that doesn't bother that child until someone else doesn't play fair. That is, they can cheat all up and down the basketball court, but when somebody grabs their arm, they are the loudest person to cry, "Hey, foul! Hey, did you see that?" They're playing tag, and this child will run out of bounds so that nobody catches them. But when they are it, they're chasing after, and as soon as they get close to getting someone and someone barely touches the line, they call out, "There needs to be justice. I could have had him." But is that really calling out for justice? How many people do you think in this world truly want justice? Luke chapter 23. Beginning in verse number, 13. And Pilate, when he had called together the chief priests and the rulers and the people, said to them, "Ye have brought me this man unto me as one that perverted the people. And behold, I, having examined him before you, have found no fault in this man, touching those things whereof ye accuse him. No, nor yet Herod, for I sent you to him, and lo, nothing worthy of death is done unto him. I will therefore chastise him," would that be justice? "And release him. For of necessity he must release one of them at the feast." And they cried out all at once, saying, "Away with this man, and release unto us Barabbas, who, for a certain sedition made in the city, and for murder, was cast into prison." Now is that justice? Releasing the guilty, condemning the innocent. Pilate, therefore, willing to release Jesus, spake again to them. But they cried, saying, "Crucify him! Crucify him!" And he said unto them the third time, "Why? What evil hath he done? I found no cause of death in him. I will therefore chastise him and let him go." Is that justice? And they were instant with loud voices, requiring that he might be crucified. And the voices of them and of the chief priests prevailed. And Pilate gave sentence that it should be as they required. And he released unto them him that for sedition and murder was cast into prison, whom they had desired, but he delivered Jesus to their will. And as they led him away, they laid hold upon one Simon, a Cyrenian, coming out of the country, and on him they laid the cross that he might bear it after Jesus. Is that justice? What had this man done? And there followed him a great company of people and of women, which also bewailed and lamented him. I look down to verse 32. And there were also two other malefactors led with him to be put to death. And when they were come to the place which is called Calvary, there they crucified him and the malefactors, one on the right hand and the other on the left. Then said Jesus, "Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do." And they parted his raiment and cast lots. And the people stood beholding, and the rulers also with them derided him, saying, "He saved others. Let him save himself, if he be the Christ, the chosen of God." And the soldiers also mocked him, coming to him and offering him vinegar, and saying, "If thou be the King of the Jews, save thyself." And a superscription also was written over him in letters of Greek and Latin and Hebrew, "This is the King of the Jews." And one of the malefactors which were hanged railed on him, saying, "If thou be Christ, save thyself and us." But the other answering rebuked him, saying, "Dost thou not fear God, seeing thou art in the same condemnation? And we, indeed justly, for we receive the due reward of our deeds. But this man hath done nothing amiss." And he said unto Jesus, "Lord, remember me when thou comest into thy kingdom." And Jesus said unto him, "Verily I say unto you, today shalt thou be with me in paradise. Let's define something. Just means to be obedient to the law. If you want to know whether you are just or unjust, you are just if you are in agreement with, in your activity and your attitude, in agreement with the law. And it doesn't matter whether that's man's law or God's law. It really doesn't matter whose. You're in obedience to the law. Now, then justice is very simple. Justice is the use of the law to judge those who break it or to reward those that keep it. Right? Being just means I have been obedient to the law. I've kept it. Justice is if you break that law, you get judgment, you get punished. If you keep the law, you get rewarded. Now, ask a couple questions. Am I just if I am speeding? No, because now I'm against the law, so I'm unjust. Am I just if I steal from my neighbor? No. Am I just if I pay my taxes? Well, sure, that's the law. Okay, so all right, now, you have been speeding, and you stole from your neighbor. The police come to arrest you, but you say to them, "You cannot arrest me, I'm just, I paid my taxes." So does one good deed outweigh the other? No. Am I just if I lie to my wife? No. Am I just if I'm lazy? Am I just if I give to those who have need? Sure, God says to love. All right, so the preacher calls out for me to get right with God. And I say, I'm just already. I share with those who are in need. Yet sometimes, let me just weasel into our lives a little bit. Sometimes that's how we sit in church. I don't know if you do, but I did. You know, the preacher starts to preach about some kind of an area of sin, and we say, well, that may be sin, at least maybe he'll define it that way, but I wouldn't, because I'm already okay, because I do all these good things. I'm already right with God. And what does it mean to be just? Am I just if I've broken the law and kept the law? Can I keep enough of the law to balance out the law that I have broken? Justice means this: any activity that is against the law is punished. So it would be right for me to be thrown into jail for speeding. It would be right for me to be thrown into jail for stealing. It would be right for God to judge me for lying. It would be right for God to judge me for being lazy. Sure, it would be all right for God to reward me, and he does in his mercy and grace for being kind to others. But God giving me mercy for being kind does not negate the responsibility of God, if he is a God of justice, to also judge those other areas of my life. How many people do you think are truly crying out today for justice? Justice. Our country applauded the lawless behavior of something that took place in our country called Occupy, and then it was in more than one place. Occupy Wall Street was the big one that started it all. Did any of you ever see any pictures out of the Occupy movement? Okay, it was scary. The imagery of people who were relieving themselves when they had to go to the bathroom on police cars. People pushing people down the steps of buildings. Why were they doing this? Well, because they perceived that people with wealth had created their problems. And so that justified their response of violence, rudeness, crudeness, leaving the mall areas of parks and places of government that were for everyone to use filthy. Why? Because they believed that someone had done them an injustice and it was their responsibility to right that. Was that real justice? That's not justice. It's not justice when you take things into your own hands and start destroying people's property. Yet in our country, there were many in leadership that applauded such behavior. You know that our president instructed our Attorney General, Eric Holder, not to defend certain laws in court. Now, do you know that the president is the head of the executive branch of government? That is the head of the part of government that is supposed to enforce the laws. And so he told Eric Holder, do not defend DOMA in court. Defense of Marriage Act. Rather, prosecute people who abide by it. Is that justice? No, it's not justice. Do you know that in our country, it is legal for a woman to kill her baby and to pay no consequence? She can actually have it done for free. The government, your tax money, will pay for it. But a man in South Carolina was sentenced to 10 years in jail and $10,000 in fines for purposely killing two dogs. $5,000 a dog and 5 years for each dog. He's going to spend 10 years in jail and $10,000, and a woman can abort two babies, twins, at the cost of the government. Is that just? We know that in our country, you may have heard, a religious group of immigrants tried to move here from Germany because they were oppressed. They couldn't homeschool there, and they believed that if they came to America, they could find asylum here, and they could live here and teach their children their Christian faith and teach them at home. They went through the proper channels. They went through the proper doors to get all the paperwork. They applied in the proper way, and President Obama and Attorney General Eric Holder pursued to, even against petitions from the American people, pursued to have them deported back to Germany in court. While, by the way, our own borders are left wide open so that people can come in without paperwork, with disease, and get health care, get schooling, get protection from our U.S. military. Now, do I have anything against those little kids whose parents are sending them across the border? No, I don't have anything against them. But it's not justice. The Bible says this: he that justifieth the wicked and condemneth the just, even they both are an abomination to the Lord. The Bible says this: the God of Israel said, the Rock of Israel spake to me, he that ruleth over men must be just, ruling in the fear of God. Do you know that in America today, speaking for Jesus can get you fired? Especially if you wear a uniform or stand in a public office. And yet, two men wanting to marry can be rewarded. Is that justice? So who's going to stand up for justice? Who's going to call out for justice? When we call out for justice, truly calling out for justice, though, we're not calling out for it on other people first. For justice is I receive what I deserve for what I have done. Look again, verse number 39, and one of the malefactors which were hanged railed on him, saying, if thou be Christ, save thyself and us. And the other, answering, rebuked him, saying, dost thou not fear God, seeing thou art in the same condemnation? And we indeed, what's the word? Justly, for we receive the due reward of our deeds. That is the definition of justice. We receive the due reward of our deeds. But this man hath done nothing amiss. How many of us could raise our hands this morning and say we've done nothing amiss? You know, it is very easy for me. It doesn't take me any time at all. I could write a list of 20 things that have happened based on news articles that I have read in our country that I would say are not justice in the last 6 months. It's very easy for me to say they have not given justice the way it should be. But listen, I want you to understand something this morning. When I speak these things, I'm not speaking them to get our eyes over there. I'm speaking to get our thoughts rolling so that we can turn our eyes back here. How many of us really want true justice? Pilate did not give true justice. An innocent man. He even offered to chastise an innocent man. Why do you chastise someone who's innocent? That's not justice. Simon didn't get justice when they had him to carry a cross. What if Simon done? There's no list of what Simon had done. Jesus was given the title above his head, King of the Jews, and then placed between two criminals. Is that justice? The sinless Son of God was mocked And in the middle of all that, we find verse 34. Then said Jesus, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. Is that justice? Could those who want true justice rejoice at such words? Forgive the murderers? Let them go scot-free? How can you do that? You can't let people go that have just taken the Son of God and rejected Him and put Him on a cross. And He says, Father, forgive them. Does that give to every man what he deserves? Don't those people deserve to be hung or crucified themselves for treason against the King of Kings and Lord of Lords? It's what they deserve. That's what we deserve. Any of you ever get saved? The reason you had to get saved was because you were lost. Those that are lost are those who live in sin, that is, against the law of God. They are living in rebellion against the King of Kings. We deserve the same judgment. How many of us are asking God for that judgment? I don't know anybody that when they figure out what the judgment is on man, say, oh God, please give me what I deserve. I think we're usually grateful, aren't we? When we're met with something different than true justice. When we're met with something that goes along with God's justice, and that is mercy. The thief on the cross understood justice. He said, we have indeed justly, for we receive the due reward for our deeds. We've gotten what we deserve. That's justice. But this man, the thief said, has done nothing. That's not justice. I don't believe we really want true justice, to really be rewarded for what our thoughts deserve. Really be rewarded, judged, for what our activity has been. Isaiah 59, verse number 4, says this, none calleth for justice, none pleadeth for truth. I think most would be ready to lock up a murderer. I mean, I don't think there's many people, other than maybe related to the person, who would say, no, don't put them behind bars. Yet those same people want to be free from consequence for their angry outbursts. And yet what is the root of murder? It's anger and hatred that's stuck in the center of our heart. So I can be angry and yell at my kids and hope that there is no consequence in their lives or mine. Is that justice? Anger is sin. It needs to be judged. Oh, I think that that person who murdered, yes, please take care of them. But who's taking care of me? And I'm looking and I'm praying in my prayers. Am I confessing that anger? Remember, we've said before, the Bible says, if I regard iniquity in my heart, if I let sin sit there and say, it's all right, the Lord will not hear me. See, if God gives true justice, then my sin needs a punishment, doesn't it? By the way, in case you think I forgot, Jesus did take that punishment. But that's the only reason I can stand here. The only reason you can sit there. In God's created world, He gave a sacrifice, a substitute. How many people think to themselves, boy, I really deserve to be locked up when they say to somebody, I hate you. And yet, doesn't hatred deserve to be judged? How many of you would like somebody to sell you a used car and lie to you about the quality of that car? You know, I think most people would be ready for the jury to side on your side and to lock that man up, to make him pay, to take the car back and give you your money back, to shut down his business, do something. Yet, many people want no problems in their life. Don't even expect that there to ever be an ounce of difficulty or issue when they exaggerate. You know what exaggeration is, right? It's a lie. How big was the fish you caught? Well, yesterday it was this big, and today it's this big. What's happening? I am lying, and my lying is getting bigger, bigger. Do we expect that God would judge us the way we want the others to be judged, who lied to us. Now, maybe the guy said it runs fine, but left off when it's attached to the power charger, you know? Battery's dead all the time because the alternator doesn't work, but it runs fine if you keep it on the trickle charger all night long. It runs great. It starts up fine. It'd be nice if he gave all the details, wouldn't it? How many of us see no problem telling a spouse or boss or parent only part of the information that needs to be said? You see, even if we don't want the strictest judgment enforced on other people, most of the time we want some judgment to fall, some justice to take place to right the wrongs that have been done to us. You know, in our country, it's not uncommon for lawsuits to be filed every single day. Why are lawsuits filed? Somebody is seeking what? Justice. I'm seeking at least what I perceive as justice. That is, you have wronged me, so you need to pay. But how many of those people that have filed these lawsuits, how many of them would like to go back through the chronicle of their life and look through the places where somebody might have been able to take out a lawsuit against them? For hurt? For loss? See, we're willing for justice when it happens to those that wrong us, and we want to be without justice for the wrongs that we have done to them. If a man takes what is yours, what is that called? Stealing, that would be judged. When you have coveted what is someone else's, what is that? Still sin. You know what causes someone to steal? Covetousness in the heart. And then it gets into the hands, and then the feet get happy with the thing that's in the hands, and the feet move the hands to the place where they can grab it, and they take it and they go with it. But how many of us expect the same judgment for coveting as there is for stealing when they're the root? Jesus said, if a man lusts in his heart, he has what? He's already done. He's already guilty. So we might lock up the sexual offender who has done the deed, but how many of us want the same judgment on every other man, woman, or child who has had a thought? See, we're saying we want justice in our world. Do we really? True justice would have us all locked up, wouldn't it? Are you saying then, preacher, that we should be a country without law? No, I'm asking this morning to consider how many of us really want what we say we're asking for in the world around us. Have you ever thought about the politicians in a happy way? I mean, have you ever thought to yourself, you know, we've elected so many people to, you know, and I just, you know, when I read history books, there are some that I look back on with happy thoughts for things that they did or said or stood for. It's not real common that today I think to myself, boy, I'd be proud to be that man's friend. There are a few that I think are trying to do right and standing up for right. You know, we would readily, I think, they go to Washington or wherever they go. They take tax dollars, and then sometimes it seems like they do nothing. And I think when we go to the ballot box, most of the time we'd like to fire most of them. Why? Because they're taking our money and they're not doing anything with it that is profitable for good. Now, if you're a child of God this morning, you are taking of the riches of God. How many of us expect any kind of judgment from God for not being faithful in His service? You see, when the politician goes and doesn't do his job, we say, kick him out. He's taking my money, but he's not doing my work. What about God giving to us all the riches of heaven? Ephesians says are all ours in Christ. We have access to every bit of what God has for us. And when we're lazy, do we think, well, as long as I'm not getting into trouble, God ought to be happy with me. Well, look, I'm not happy with a politician that goes to Washington, takes all our money, and just sits. Well, I'm happy he's not voting for bad things, but, you know, he just sits there. I'd rather have him stand up and say, leave the people alone. I'd rather have him stand up and say, hey, let's cut some taxes and cut some of this foolish spending. I'd rather have him say, hey, let's leave alone the people that are practicing their religious liberty. I'd rather have him stand up and say, hey, that man has the right to speak. It's in our Constitution. I'd like to see somebody stand up and say, hey, let's pray. But when they sit down and do nothing, I want to bring them home and say, you're done. And yet I don't look to heaven and say, God, I've been lazy this week, bring me home. Wouldn't that be justice? If I take from God and do nothing with it? Every man born into the world is guilty of breaking God's law. Sometimes children will do this, and sometimes adults as well. If you confront them and say, "Hey, do you know that you have sinned?" No. "Do you know that when that you lied, and that was what? The only reason I did that was because of..." And we try to justify it, you know what I mean? We try to make what we did that was wrong look okay. "Why did you punch that guy? Why punched him? Because if I didn't..." So now my punching wasn't bad anger, it was actually good anger. And so we have these reasons we justify ourselves, but that's not... it's not what we want to consider this morning, just giving some excuse. We're all guilty. We're all guilty. Do we want the justice that our sin deserves? Psalm 89:14 tells me something that is so beautiful when I put it in this context. Psalm 89:14 says, "Justice and judgment are the habitation of thy throne." That's speaking of God. "Mercy and truth shall go before thy face." When we talk about God, he's a God of justice. He sits on a throne and has the rule and the authority to judge every evil. But right before his face is a word called mercy and a word called truth. God gives justice. That is, he gives every sin must be judged and every sin will be judged. God gives mercy. What's mercy? Justice is God gives judgment for every sin. Mercy is God withholds judgment from sin. It's an amazing concept that God can put both of these together, but it's a wonderful one. How do they work together? It's the word justify as used in the Bible. The word justify means to remove the guilt because someone else took the punishment. To bring someone into agreement with the law by use of a substitute. I am guilty and deserve to die. God says every sin must be punished. So what did he do with every sin? He took all of my sin and he put it all upon Jesus. Has every one of my sins been judged already? The answer is yes. Do I want true judgment that my sin is judged on me? No. But I am certainly grateful for the justice of God that took all of my sin and put it on Jesus Christ. The wages of sin is death. Justice demands that I die. All men are unjust. All men are guilty. There's no amount of good that you and I could do, not by works of righteousness which we have done, but by his mercy he saved us. Justice and judgment are the habitation of thy throne. Mercy and truth, the Bible says, are before or go before his face. God offers to make men just if they will only believe. Take all their sin, which is put upon Jesus, and he'll allow that to be enough if they would simply cry out for his saving grace. So what does that mean about Jesus? He died as our substitute. He did no wrong, but he took the punishment for sin. So we can say that justice did occur because wrong was punished and right is rewarded. How is right rewarded? Jesus took my sin and then gave me his righteousness. Because Jesus is righteous, he deserves life, and he gave it to me. Because I'm a sinner, I deserve death, and he took it from me. Only by way of a substitute could any man become just in the eyes of God. And for this reason, the publican could, on his knees, beat on his chest, not look up to heaven and say, "Be merciful unto me, a sinner." Say, "Preacher, I'm already a child of God." Good. Rejoice in the mercy you received. But then consider this. The Bible says, "Blessed are the merciful, for they shall obtain mercy." The offer of salvation is there, that God wants to give true justice. He wants Jesus to bear the weight of your sin and give to you the reward of His righteousness, give you His eternal life. He wants to do that. But then, I wonder if we don't ever get a little self-righteous. Look at the world around us, said it ought to be judged. A sin ought to be judged. Well, it was. Remember, so was yours. I wonder sometimes if we get a little self-righteous because somebody acts outwardly on sin, but we haven't remembered that we still have that same sin in our hearts. Mercy. Jesus always met the humble with mercy. Jesus always met the proud with the law and judgment. When you and I deal in a church and we deal in a community with people, Jesus is our example. When someone is stubborn and proud in their sin, they need to come face to face with the law of God. Because that is the only thing that can truly humble a man if they will allow it. But when we come in touch with a person who humbles themselves before God, there is true remorse and grief for sin. You don't beat them with the law so that they fall down even flatter on the floor. Jesus, when someone came to Him begging for His mercy, Jesus simply said, "This day thy sins are forgiven." He simply said, "Go and sin no more." He met them with a mercy. The church has to deal with these things. 1 Corinthians chapter 5, there was a man that was caught in a sin, a sexual sin in the church. And the church was like, "Hey, it's all right. You know, we're the kind of church that just loves everybody." And we hear a lot about that in the world we live in today. You know, it doesn't matter what everybody does. We just welcome everybody. And Jesus didn't. And the Bible didn't. The Bible says that if this is being done in the church, that man needs to be kicked out. But then in 2 Corinthians, after the man had already been punished, he writes another letter and says you need to welcome that man back in. Why? Because after sin is punished and judged and humility and remorse comes, now that man needs to be plugged back into the work of the church. But it happens all over where we get this attitude that says, "Well, I've never done such and such." And I just want to encourage us as a church. We've done enough that we deserve to be where Christ was. We've never done so much good that God would just let us into heaven by ourselves. That can't work. It doesn't happen that way. That we get the right perspective of the salvation we have received. And then we are a part of the ministry of reconciliation, helping other people get back into a relationship with God. The lost, the saint who stumbles into sin, it's our responsibility. And we could probably test a little of our heart for God based on the way we interact with people. I don't know if you ever had this. Some of you parents have children. Did any of you ever see yourselves in your children? I guess it's just me. I look at my kids sometimes and why are you fighting? Why are you so proud? Why are you so this? Why won't you this? And it doesn't always come out of my mouth, but probably it does many more times than it ought to. And then I sit down later and think to myself, "Self, do you know why they're doing that? They watched you. Do you really want true justice, Daddy? Do I really want someone to come in and start yelling at me for my impatience? For my laziness?" Now, as a parent, I do have a responsibility to try to train my children. I understand that. But everything we do comes with an attitude, doesn't it? Any of you ever heard that from a spouse or a friend? It's not what you said, but it's how you do and how you say and all these things. Some of that comes when we recognize we are recipients of mercy. And we are supposed to be displaying that same mercy to others. Didn't Jesus go over that in the parable? Man comes and says to the king, I can't pay my debt. He writes it off, says, "You are free." The man walks out. He's been forgiven thousands of dollars. Walks out, finds a servant that owes him like $3 or something. Grabs him by the neck, says, "If you don't in jail, and what is the king's response? I don't get it. I gave you mercy. Why could you not see fit to give anyone else mercy? Blessed are the merciful. I'm grateful that God saw fit to let justice be given and meted out on Jesus on my behalf. Shouldn't I then seek to let His justice be sufficient for the others that maybe I want to condemn? It's got to be a perfect balance, and only God has that. How can you walk in mercy while not avoiding to keep the law? We can't just throw the law out that is right and wrong. You can't throw it out and say, well, it doesn't matter, we just love everybody. How are you going to do that? Church, it's when we are walking in the steps of Christ, when we are letting His Spirit guide us, that we can have His mercy and His truth. Both of those are before His face. And we've got to have both. But I think sometimes in the church, you're going to err on one side or the other. Too much truth where you don't have any mercy, you don't love anybody, you don't even care about them, you just shoot truth at them. Too much of what some people call mercy, it's not mercy if you just ignore sin. God doesn't ignore sin. Sin was judged on Christ. He saw all the sin and He judged it. But He also offers a pardon to those who will receive it by faith.